For Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, June 28, 2018. And on this day, a legislative panel subpoenas Maine's Health and Human Services chief when he doesn't show up for a hearing about child welfare. The key role Maine's two U.S. senators could play in the confirmation of the next Supreme Court justice. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
The legislature's Government Oversight Committee voted unanimously today to subpoena Department of Health and Human Services Chief Ricker Hamilton after he failed to show up for questioning about his agency's response to an investigation into the state's child welfare system and the death of two young girls. Steve Missler reports.
The Oversight Committee and the Office of Program Evaluation and Government Accountability have been grappling with how to assess and improve the state's child welfare system ever since the deaths last winter of 10-year-old Marissa Kennedy and 4-year-old Kendall Chick. The pending criminal investigation and confidentiality laws have hindered that effort. But last month, Governor LePage himself assured the panel that his administration would assist lawmakers and make staff available to answer questions, as long as doing so did not impede the criminal probe.
This one here is very, very critical.
We're all on the same team.
We're all on the same team, yes.
That exchange between the governor and Republican State Senator Roger Cates, co-chair of the Oversight Committee, was fresh on the minds of lawmakers Thursday when DHHS Chief Hamilton failed to show up for a work session. Cates said the governor had promised Hamilton would be available for questions about his agency's own report on the system.
We took him at his word, and in retrospect, how dumb are we to do that? Because Ricker Hamilton was not here today.
Cates said Hamilton's absence makes the committee's work more difficult and wasted time that the committee could have used to help fix what the governor has acknowledged is a flawed system.
We're all supposed to be on the same team here. We want to make sure that the system gets fixed so that these terrible tragedies don't happen again. And the department is the repository of the knowledge. We can't make good public policy without their cooperation and help.
A spokeswoman for LePage did not respond to a request for comment about Hamilton's absence. But over his 7.5 years as governor, LePage has repeatedly denied committees access to his administration's commissioners and staff, saying that too often lawmakers grill them and grandstand to score political points. But Representative Anne-Marie Mastracchio, the Democratic co-chairwoman of the Oversight Committee, suggested instead that the governor denies access to his officials because tough questions might reveal the administration's mistakes in policy or judgment.
I mean, what are they trying to hide, if anything? I mean, we all are on the same team. We're all here for the same reason. I'm just baffled by why they weren't here today.
Baffled, but not terribly surprised.
And it's just sad that I'm not surprised.
Ultimately, the committee will get a chance to question Hamilton. Because of the subpoena issued Thursday, the DHHS chief will be compelled to show up at its next meeting in July. But whether Hamilton will actually answer any questions at that meeting is unclear. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Late this afternoon, Governor LePage released a statement about Commissioner Hamilton's failure to appear today at the Government Oversight Committee meeting. Because of the pending criminal investigation into the deaths of two Maine children who were allegedly killed after extensive physical abuse, and because of the need for confidentiality in both cases, the governor said he determined it would be inappropriate for Hamilton to participate in open-ended discussions with lawmakers about child protective services. But the governor acknowledged that there is also another reason he didn't want Hamilton to appear. LePage said, quote, "Given that this is a matter of significant interest during an election year, we could not risk that GOC legislators would use the hearing to grandstand to score political points." LePage said his office had previously communicated that the commissioner would be able to answer questions in writing. Maine's two U.S. senators could play key roles in the confirmation of the replacement for U.S. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy, who has announced his retirement as of July 31st. Kennedy has been widely viewed as the swing justice on the court, a conservative with a libertarian streak, who sometimes votes with the four more conservative justices, other times with the four more liberal justices. President Trump says he will nominate a conservative to replace Kennedy, and that's touched off intense lobbying by advocacy groups at both ends of the spectrum. Mal Leary has covered past judicial nominations and joins us from Augusta. Mal, why such intensity when we don't even have a nominee?
Well, Ed, it's really what you just talked about. Both the left and the right have seen Kennedy as the swing vote on so many issues. He joined with the conservatives in that controversial Citizens United case that said corporate donations to political campaigns are protected by the First Amendment, opening up huge amounts of expenditures in campaigns. But he also sided with liberals and wrote the opinion that legalized same-sex marriage. So when the president came out and made it clear that he will nominate someone from a list of about 25 conservatives that he released pretty early in his term, well, that immediately set off both sides because that could fundamentally change the balance on the court and shift it to the conservative wing, having the majority on all issues with no one any longer acting as that kind of swing vote position.
All senators get to vote on Supreme Court nominations. So why are our senators seen as playing pivotal roles?
Both Senator Collins and Senator King have voted for and against some of President Trump's judicial nominees in the past. And with the Senate so closely divided, and Senator McCain being out makes it even that much closer, a couple of senators could swing the nomination for or against a nominee.
So what are the factors our senators will be weighing as they decide how to cast their votes?
Well, this list of potential nominees that the president has released are pretty much all veteran judges at some level. They've served on state Supreme Courts. They've served on the Circuit Court of Appeals. So there is a bulk of written opinions that they will have been a part of over the years. And you can be sure that all the various interest groups we've been talking about will be reviewing those records and be pointing out what they believe to be how that nominee will actually vote on some crucial issues. It's interesting that one person who is on that list is Utah Senator Mike Lee, who, of course, is a sitting senator on the Judiciary Committee. But he will have a record of votes that can be reviewed by the committee if, indeed, he's the nominee. And I think you'll find both of our senators are also going to rely in part on what the Bar Association rating is of the nominee. If the Bar Association says that a nominee is totally unqualified for the job, I think that's going to weigh very heavily with our senators and could result in both of them rejecting that sort of nominee.
So we're already hearing about litmus tests like abortion and gay rights. Do Maine senators apply those sorts of tests to nominees?
Those issues are very nuanced. They're not black and white. Someone can be in various stages of support on those issues. And let's look at an example. For Senator Collins has always said that to her, Roe versus Wade, a woman's right to an abortion, is settled law in her mind. So if a nominee that the president puts up is on record saying that he would vote to overturn Roe versus Wade, then it's pretty clear Collins won't support that nominee. But what's going to be unlikely in all of this is that we're going to have a nominee that is so clear on that issue that both Collins and Senator King will be able to clearly say, oh, that person's on the wrong side of that issue for me. The positions are likely to be far more nuanced, and that's going to take a long time for the senators to weigh.
Maine Public Radio's senior political correspondent, Mal Leary, in Augusta. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And for Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Thursday, June 28, 2018. Thanks to Susan Sharon, Keith Shortall, and our digital team, I'm Ed Morin.